At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
To teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids spending and saving while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley. Tonight I'm going to have on Illini guy's football analyst Steve Sturm. He will talk to us about the 2024 Illini verbal commitments for football, of which there are 16. So just hang on. We're going to have a real quick commercial message, and I'll be back with Steve Sturm. Are you looking to grow your business? Do that with the Illini guy's radio network by broadcasting on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. We have over 20 stations, including stations in Chicago, St. Louis, Champaign, Decatur, Springfield, Bloomington, the Quad Cities, Rockford, Peoria, Marion, Quincy, and Jacksonville, amongst others. You can reach over 11 million people in the state of Illinois by partnering with us. Send me an email, mike@IlliniGuys.com, and let's find a way that we can build your business together. And as promised, this is Illini guy Mike Kegley, and I am sitting here with the Illini guys recruiting analyst Steve Sturm. Steve has been the one who people wait for the football recruiting spotlight article to come out after a player has committed. And over the course of our time here at Illini guys, Steve has broken down every single commitment for an Illini football player that's happened since we jumped on board in January of 2021, and we have been proud to have his analysis. Steve, you've done a yeoman's job for us. Can you kind of give folks a little bit of your background so that they kind of understand that this isn't, you know, just a media person who's very interested in a sport, but you have a little bit different background?
Gosh, it's hard to hear myself be referred to as a media person, honestly.
Yeah, I know.
I'm a lawyer by trade, but my passion's always been football. So aside from, you know, the regular old youth football and high school stuff, I walked on to a Division I program, Davidson College, in North Carolina, and played, worked my way into a starting job there as a left tackle. Never did allow a sack, was allegedly guilty of holding numerous times, but was never called. As far as I know, there was one play that was in question. It could have been the left guard, might have been me. But I was never officially called for holding, as far as I know. But I've loved football my whole life. And I was been doing recruit evaluations since long before Illini guys started. And I'm happy to be a part of Illini guys now.
Yeah, perfect. I will tell you, folks, part of the reason why we tell you to join Illini guys for $99 a year is you get things like Steve's recruiting analysis. That's part of what our subscriber only package is. Get a lot of articles of analysis also by Matt Stevens, Brad Sturdy, Kedrick Prince. So there's a lot of good stuff that you get from people who've covered the Illini for a while, have coached for a while, or have actually played in the trenches for a while. So that's one of the benefits of joining IlliniGuys.com. So, Steve, we're going to kind of go through some of the 2024 verbal commitments, of which there are 16 right now. Just over the, you know, as a general evaluation of what Brett Bielema is doing to help the Illini build their roster of the future, you know, what kind of comments would you have on the job that Coach B and the staff are doing right now?
Well, I'm very positive on this class. It's kind of funny because at this time last year, Matt Stevens and I were going back and forth trying to hold all the subscribers' hands about saying like, well, this class doesn't actually have a whole lot of guys who had Division I offers and they look rough, but they do have some potential. They do have some potential. And it did turn out that a lot of those guys who were kind of unheralded at this time last year that the staff was signing up had really good falls. They got a whole bunch of Division I offers as the fall proceeded. And they really did turn out to be a good class. I mean, it's not a class that Illini fans are going to be jumping up and down about, but it's a solid class. The class of 2023 is going to be good on paper, and they're going to be contributors down the line. However, this class of 2024 is definitely a step forward. The staff has gotten their feet under them a little bit more. They've got something to sell because obviously the program did very well last year. They've got just a whole higher level of recruits at this point. Guys, there's very few that don't have Division I offers, and they've out-recruited a lot of major programs for these guys as well. So I think Illini fans are going to be much more excited about this group than probably the general recruiting evaluations are going to indicate. I know that I'm a lot higher on this group. There are a few that are highly rated that I'm not thrilled with, but at the same time, I've done this long enough, especially for Illini football, to recognize that even some of the guys that I'm not thrilled with, this class would have been our best recruits 5-6 years ago.
And one other question is, what kind of effect has Coach B had on kind of, you know, has he been able to put to recruit the state of Illinois more successfully than his predecessors have been able to do?
Well, gosh, Mike, I mean, the numbers just bear that out. So clearly it's obvious, you know, Bielema has made a tremendous effort in making sure that Illinois, high school football coaches feel appreciated, that they know that the University of Illinois is going to be there for them, is going to recruit their guys, is going to take care of their kids once they get to the University of Illinois. It's just night and day from Lovie Smith. Honestly, thinking back, they've definitely done a better job than Beckman did. And I think it's fair to say that they recruit the state probably even a little bit better than Ron Zook did too.
Wow. So that's good. That's good. And of course, people don't understand, but, you know, Coach B has been here now a couple of years. That effort that is resulting in players today really started on day one when he came to Illinois.
Oh, yeah. No question. I mean, he was jumping up and down about that in his opening press conference. And unlike other head coaches that we've had, that have screamed that they're going to recruit the state of Illinois, he's actually backed it up.
Yeah.
So yeah, the state of Illinois should feel good about the University of Illinois at this point. And it's definitely paid off. We're not really getting the top recruits in the state. I know that Mike Farrell came out with an article today that had some bad news about some of the better players in the state leaving the state this year again. But at the same time, we are cleaning up on that kind of second tier guys. We don't quote other recruiting services on our site, but you're going to find Illinois well represented in any top 10 in the state, depending on which site you go to.
Great, great. So that's good to hear. So let's kind of jump into your general thoughts on the class. And we're not going to go, I know people would be a little bored if we went, you know, from first recruit to 16th recruit, but we're going to kind of talk in groupings of where they play. So let's talk about the heartbeat of a Brett Bielema team. Of course, that's the offensive line. And, you know, you have Caleb Pyfrom, and then you have Zafir Stewart, Eddie Turk. We also have Brandon Hansen there. So you've got some good offensive linemen. How are you feeling about this class and what they potentially bring to the Illini?
Well, I wrote up Caleb Pyfrom's article tonight, actually. I mean, I haven't submitted for publication, but I wrote him up tonight. And I got to say, for a guy with the offers he has, he's probably my least favorite of this class, honestly.
Wow.
He's an NFL frame. He has the movement ability, but Illinois fans probably aren't aware of this, but he's from just a terrible football program. They won one game last year. It was one or zero games last year, and it really shows on his recruiting film, because he's a man among boys, as you might imagine. I mean, any guy who's 6'5", 300, and a good athlete is going to be able to dominate. And he loves to block. That's clear. And unlike a lot of 300-pounders, he's not overweight. He's a sturdy 300. I mean, he's going to need, like most people, he's going to need some time in the weight room in order to kind of firm that up. But at the same time, he's just running around there like a wrecking ball, literally. And I don't mean that as a compliment. I highlighted one particular clip where he pulls from his right tackle position to left, which is impressive. That's why it's in there, is that he pulls across the formation. Not every 300-pounder can do that. But he doesn't even block the guy, essentially. He just runs him over. Makes no effort to make contact with him with his hands at all. He sees the man he's supposed to block and just rams into him like a wrecking ball. That's not really what you want. Not only that, but when he's pass blocks, and his coaches did a good job kind of creating this highlight film. And they point out that he was operating against some good competition on the other side. But again, he just physically dominates them. He doesn't seem to know how to block yet. And, you know, you expect that. That's not his fault, certainly. You know, there's not many 0-8 teams out there who have top-notch coaches. Right. And so it's something that's certainly not his fault, but it makes him a little bit further away from being, a Big Ten football player. You mentioned Brandon Hansen, and I actually stopped and went back and looked at him today because Caleb Pfeiffer, in my opinion, is a much better guard. He could play tackle. It's going to take some work. Bart Miller is going to have to make him a pet project, you know, and then we're a couple years down the line from him really realistically being able to play. And I know that goes without saying with a lot of linemen, but it's especially true for him. But I went back and looked at Brandon Hansen's tape today, and I got to say, I like Brandon Hansen better than I like Caleb Pfeiffer. And Illini fans who were watching this recruiting class closely are going to say, well, Brandon Hansen, he was, you know, early commit, barely got any offers, et cetera, rated lower, but he's a better player. He also has the natural 300-pound size. He also likes to maul people. He's been playing at a higher level because even though Caleb Pfeiffer's at the highest level in Nebraska, I mean, Nebraska is not a very populated state. Right. Their class, it's actually called Class A, but that's their highest class. It's probably the equivalent of like Class 5A in Illinois. You know, the competition's good enough that it's legit. You know, you can't just dismiss it. But at the same time, it's really, you know, these guys are not big enough to be able to handle a Caleb Pfeiffer. And, you know, regardless of whether he knows how to play or not, he's going to dominate these guys. Meanwhile, Brandon Hansen is playing against a tougher level of competition in Illinois. He knows how to play. He's fit. He's tough. And frankly, I mean, I really like the guy. Illinois fans have probably forgotten about him already. Yeah. But my favorite in the class, easily, I think I gave this guy an 8 or a 9 out of 10 as far as the excitement level. I love Zephyr Stewart. Oh my gosh. That guy could really be an NFL player, like, and an early entry NFL player. He's a little bit out of shape, but apparently he's gotten in shape for the camp circuit. You know, I mean, you know, you don't know. I mean, these are 17, 18 year old kids if they're going to stay in shape, but he got into shape for the camp circuit and the offers just flowed. He chose Illinois over Penn State, which is saying something for a kid from Philadelphia. And, this is a guy who, I mean, he should jump out on any film. He's not playing at the highest level of competition. He goes to a private school in Philadelphia. If not for that, I imagine the big boys would be all over him. He's a really good athlete. And there are some plays on that are just absolute jaw droppers. I especially like the one. I highlighted it in my article. Somebody opposing him didn't make any headway on a pass rush. And he's playing tackle, and he's a natural tackle too. So he's playing tackle. The guy tries to jump up and bat down a pass. Now, the way I was taught, you punish a guy for doing that, but you know, you're not going to be able to stop him. Like, right. He's far enough away from you, and that's why he did it. But you punish him, you punch him in the gut. You know, you maybe hammer him in the ribs. You maybe take out his legs or something like that. Zephyr Stewart grabbed him around the neck and body slammed him. And I've never seen that before. And it might even be a penalty just because of the sheer violence of it. But I mean, if you want to send a message and keep a guy's arms down, I think that's how you do it. And I mean, it, I mean, I'm not, it could theoretically be called holding or even unnecessary roughness, but I like my linemen who takes, you know, who take pride in their unnecessary roughness, frankly. You know, if you get called for something like that, okay. I mean, you're going to probably elevate the sideline to such a degree that you know, that penalty doesn't necessarily hurt you in the long term. Loves if you're Stewart. So, and then the Eddie Turk you mentioned, he's listed as a defensive lineman for a lot of people. I know based on our Matt and Kedrick's writings that he's going to start at an offensive line. He's a really good player, has everything you want. My concern is that he's maxed out already. He's about a 280 pounder, and he clearly has worked hard on his craft. His body's and he's in great shape. He can probably get up to 300 pounds, and that's, you know, what he'll need to be an offensive line for lineman for Illinois. He could be one of those guys, and we've seen them through the years. I'm going to throw out a name that most Illini fans probably will have forgotten, but his name is John Prince. He was a All-American lineman that Illinois fans were very excited about in the 90s. And it turned out that he came to Champaign, maxed out, and just could not handle Big Ten competition because there was just no projection left on him. I'm a little bit worried about that with Eddie Turk, but if that happens, you turn around and put him at defensive end where Illinois has a huge need. And he's, in my opinion, he's not quite as good of a prospect there. But if you turn around and put him on the defensive line, Illinois is still going to be in good shape there.
Okay, good. Well, I know my personal one is Zephyr Stewart. He looks like the prototypical cowboy offensive guard. You know, I'm just like, I look at him and I'm like, okay, you know, obviously nobody's Larry Allen, but he's got that attitude that you just – I would, you know, before, like when I meet him, I'm going to apologize for anything that he might not have liked that I've ever said about him, just in case.
Right. Illinois' other offensive linemen have the nastiness you want, but yeah, Zephyr Stewart's on another level.
Yeah.
yeah, I'm going to watch whatever I say if I'm around, ever around him too.
Now Pyfrom does have a lot of potential, but boy, yeah. they've got to do a lot of training that other kids might have gotten in high school.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And that's to be, you know, it's not his fault. Illinois has made, you know, made a lot of hay, especially with the Florida kids. There's a lot of programs losing programs in Florida with bad coaching. And of course the athletes are just as good in, like, say, like the middle west coast of Florida, the Panhandle. Those schools are under recruited, believe it or not, because, you know, all the great players are at the 7 and 8A schools in Florida, the football factories, they transfer in, but there's a couple places that are kind of far from the population centers, and Illinois has had a lot of success adding those players. And it's, I mean, I hope we keep doing it because it works great. Like, the athletes are the same, you know, they're not better athletes on, you know, the western coast of Florida than they are, or sorry, they're not better athletes in Miami than they are on the western coast. But a lot of those, like, you know, kind of more rural programs, some of the private academies in Florida, it's the same deal. These kids have not been coached to the same level, but of course that gives them more projection. So, you know, Eddie Turk here, I'm running him down because, you know, he's had great coaching and great preparation to this point. But at the same time, Illinois, like the guy who I love among the defensive backs, I'm going to jump you. I don't know if you wanted to go to defensive backs next.
Let's go to defensive backs. That's where I'm going.
Because the other guy that I love from this class, Vernon Woodward. Oh my God. That guy is just such a stud football player. And Matt and I went back and forth on him because, you know, he's not a great athlete. But you know what? Illinois has had quite a few players who came in as not a great athlete and turned into star. I mean, Sidney Brown's not a great athlete, you know, but he's a football player. You know, Sidney Brown, when he, you know, he came to, what academy did he go? IMG, right? Is that where he went? Yeah. So he came to IMG from Canada. And he was just knocking guys' heads off from day one. And that's what Gottman offered Illinois. And then, of course, his brother is probably a better athlete. I mean, Chase is a better athlete than Sidney, but, you know, Sidney's the one who got the Division I offer. Sorry, Chase got a Division I offer too, but he got the high major offer.
Right.
And it's because Sidney just came in there knocking guys' heads off. And I mean, there was a famous play where he knocked a guy's helmet off and danced over the sideline and got a penalty for it. But that's the kind of thing that we were talking about with Zephyr Stewart, where it's like, yeah, that's okay. We'll take that penalty. Yeah, everybody. Vernon Woodward has a few of those type of plays. He's a hitter. He's dangerous around the ball. I mean, his forced fumbles are things of beauty. And his competition, though, was not great. So he's transferring to, is it Winter Park that he's transferring to or that he came from? But either way, he's transferring up for his senior year. And Illinois, I think there's no question in my mind, honestly, as good a football player as that guy is, he's going to excel. And I really, really hope that we hold on to him, because I think that the big boys in the SEC are going to be all over him. And I fear that Illinois is a reservation for him. That has not been the case with most of the Illinois staff to this point. They do a great job holding on to guys. They have not really allowed guys to just make a reservation with Illinois and then walk away. But if he doesn't stay at corner, I don't care. That guy's going to be a stud at safety too. He's 6'2". He'll be able to carry 200 pounds. He's a little bit skinny at this point. So, you know, I wouldn't project him to play, right away when he gets to Illinois. But, he's going to be a star wherever he goes. He's just too good of a football player.
Yeah, and he is transferring to Winter Park, which is a powerhouse in Florida, and he played last year at University High School in Orange City. So
that's what it is. And U High is not a football program. I mean, it's still Florida. You got a lot of athletes that you're playing against, but it's not a football heavy program. And then to go to the rest of the secondary, you got a couple of classic, what's become a classic Illinois situation with Omar Reynolds and Chase Green, who are both tweeners. And I just mentioned, of course, that Woodward is somewhat of a tweener, although I think he's a level above either of these other two guys. But Green and Reynolds are both guys who have ability, but they're not real fast and they're kind of skinny. It's tough to decide whether one's going to be corner and one's a safety. As you go to other websites, you're going to see one's listed as a corner, one's listed as a safety, and then it's flipped and flipped and flipped. And that was true of several players in Illinois' last class as well. I think they're probably both better off at safety. Amar Reynolds is a little bit more of a corner, I'd say, just a little bit less of a quote-unquote football player than Chase Green, but he's maybe a better fit as a corner. But, good players, certainly. I'm excited about both of them. Not nearly the same as Woodward, though. Chase Green and Amar Reynolds are guys that, when they're redshirt sophomores, might get some playing time. But I really think that Vernon Woodward's going to be making plays before that. I'm just going to have to get his football card right now. I think I've gushed too much about him already.
Well, look, Devin Witherspoon proved people wrong. So underrated.
And I'll tell you what. I wrote about him right away saying like this is an NFL player. I would not have guessed first round NFL player, but I was like, this is an NFL player. And it's because he had not, focused on football yet, which gave Akis similar situation. He'd been playing football. People knew who he was, but he's just not. I mean, when you focus on football, of course, everything changes. And that's what happened with Devin Witherspoon. He decided to focus on football, got a couple of JUCO offers, and then, the film made its way around. And he came from a non-football program. And I think I wrote that. I can't even remember. I've written so many of these recently, but I broke it down, the undiscovered gems that Illinois got from Florida. Jerjon Newton, same thing, was from a smaller high school, under-recruited. A little bit small at the time, but it's because he hadn't really focused on defensive line in his case. He was just a natural defensive lineman. And so once he started focusing, he gains the weight, gets the technique, and, boom, he's a star.
And a lot of staffs claim they develop players. But if you look at Brett Bielema's history as a head coach, he can point to case after case of guys who ended up in the NFL. And I'm not, obviously both you and I are Illini guys, but fact of the matter is Brett Bielema, regardless of whether we liked him, didn't like him, whatever, he's got the resume that gives him some street cred. If you're going to send your kid somewhere to develop to the maximum of his skill capabilities, Brett Bielema is one of those coaches you'd want to send him to.
Sure. And let's give Lovie some credit too.
He's the one who certainly could identify talent.
Yeah. Early in his early in his Illinois career, you know, Sidney Brown, for instance, Devin Witherspoon, guys that, you know, were totally unrecruited. He just kind of plucked them out, and, you know, those guys were good players under Lovey, but yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any question that Beal and the staff has done a fantastic job in his 3 years developing players. And I don't think Sidney Brown is a high NFL draft pick, and Devin Witherspoon is not a top five pick without Brett Bielema's staff involved too, you know. And that's Ryan Walters, of course, is gone, but also Aaron Henry. And, you know, I mean, all of them are good. I love this staff.
Yep. So if we go past the defensive backs, let's go into the linebacking position then and talk a little bit about those players.
Well, there's Easton Baker. I mean, Easton Baker is just a classic linebacker. He's another guy who was a little bit under-recruited, and then all of a sudden, you know, his film, you know, made the rounds this spring. He hit a couple camps, and then famously Oklahoma really, really badly wanted him. And was Andy Boo who flew out and just like went to see him personally and knocked on the door, which you don't see anymore. You know, that's a story from the 80s, which is common, right? You know,
I haven't seen that since Air with when Matt Damon went to see Michael Jordan's parents.
Yeah. You know, I mean, back in the day, an assistant would drop everything and drive over to some recruit's house 10 hours away just to make the effort, right? And you see it with basketball recruits. Andy Boo dropped everything because he was like, I've got to have Easton Baker. And I mean, he was right. Easton Baker is another guy who's a stud football player. I don't know athletically if he's going to be a standout, but I'll tell you what, Easton Baker's going to be a starter at Illinois.
And have you ever seen somebody who had more hits that resulted in fumbles going for touchdowns than he has? Because I've never, and I think two of them, not only did he destroy the player, but he picked up the ball and went 40, 50 yards for a touchdown. And then a couple of three or four other times, other guys on the team benefited from it.
Yes. His forced fumble rate. I know I put it in his article. I think he forced fumbles on 10% of his tackles, which is just, it's unreal. And the competition, he's playing at a higher level in Utah, but kind of like I was saying about the Nebraska folks too, you know, it's a non very populous state. They love their football there, but you're not going to have quite the same level of competition. So, you know, quite a few of those guys, their football highlight is going to be like, hey, remember that time Easton Baker knocked me out? You know, he's starting in Illinois now, and he's, you know, maybe went to a training camp with an NFL team. And that's on the low side. I mean, I don't want to run the kid down. He's not a great athlete. And, you know, some of those guys are, you know, many, many of those players like Dana Howard, for instance, or Jay Layman have fantastic college careers and they don't make it in the NFL. But so what? I mean, I'm an Illinois fan and we're an Illinois website. So let's talk about how he could be one of the most productive Illinois linebackers in a while. He's going to have to fight for playing time more than Dana Howard and Jay Layman did, because Illinois' program isn't in such good shape at this point. But I love Easton Baker. And then, gosh, we've got a couple guys who are outside linebackers / defensive linemen.
Yes.
It's kind of hard to say where Joe Varner's going to start. He's another guy I'm a little bit afraid is maxed out. He's a 240-pounder right now, will probably be a very good outside linebacker for us. You could maybe pump him up to 280. I would love him. I would love it if you could pump him up to 280, because he reports himself about 4.8 speed. And that looks, you know, I mean, these guys are putting their best foot forward, clearly.
Right.
He's probably 4.8 with the wind behind him. But he does have good quickness. He's a good athlete. You know, the 40 time can be overrated sometimes. He's a good athlete. You put him in an area in a situation where he only has to get to short areas, and he's going to be very valuable. As an outside linebacker, and Illinois' outside linebackers, I mean, could be called defensive ends in a lot of systems. So it's not like he'll be a failure or anything like that if he's an outside linebacker. I mean, God knows Gabe Backus doesn't actually have a great 40 time either, but he's very, very effective. You know, gosh, Alec Bryant's not going to set any records as a 40 time either. Joe Barna could very well be, you know, a Alec Bryant type of player at worst. He's definitely a valuable addition. And then who's the other guy? I'm sorry, I'm looking over this list right now because I've frankly written so many of these in the last couple of weeks. I start to go a little bit.
I think then we get into the other defensive linemen, or depends on where, you know, your tight ends end up
Yeah. Okay. So the other defensive linemen, Demetrius John and Angelo McCollum, I hope are able to be like to bulk up to be our classic defensive ends in a 3-4 like we run. The defensive end is actually the key position. You have to have a guy who can make plays and also be able to function with a strong blocker on both shoulders. So a defensive tackle, it's actually a lot easier than you think to find a 320-pound guy who can grab the center and the guard and just pull him down and eat up space. Illinois already has quite a few guys like that. We don't have defensive ends. The defensive line recruiting overall has been a little weak, but especially we've been missing defensive ends. The depth chart has no depth at this point. So I really, really hope those guys can bulk up soon. I especially like Demetrius John. He's the kind of guy who, when you bulk him up to 280, if he maintains his movement skills, then he's a guy who could be a future NFL player, in my opinion. Couple steps down the line before you get to that. I mean, I'm not as in love with him as I am, of course, Stuart Woodward, that kind of player, but he's my favorite of the defensive line recruits right now. You know, not counting Eddie Turk, you know, if he's an offensive lineman, for instance. And then Angelo McCollum, he's a good player. Like, he's a player that any Big Ten team should want. I think he's just a little bit more of a plugger than Demetrius John. But at the same time, you know, this couple years down the line, you could see those two be our Newton and Randolph, hopefully, you know, but you're talking about 2 years down the line for both guys. I hope that we don't get forced into playing them sooner. I think Matt and I went back and forth on this last year, and I think we were unanimous, which is rare for Matt and I, that more than anything, Illinois needed to put all its pennies in the piggy bank to keep Newton and Randolph, because they were the keys to the defense. And we have nobody behind them. And thankfully, Bielema agreed with that. And those are the guys who got all the NIL money. I'm not going to say all, but the large bulk of it. And that should set Illinois up to be a bowl team again next year. You know, I don't want, being a longtime Illinois fan, I don't want to be too confident in that. But that's what I think at this point. Can we get to Trey Petty next?
Yes, go right ahead. Yeah. Trey Petty, the quarterback out of Mississippi.
Yes, he's my next favorite, and that's why. Probably not an NFL player. I mean, he's kind of small. And unlike the small NFL quarterbacks who, you know, kind of snuck into the league in last year and done well, he's not the athlete that a Kyler Murray or, either any of the guys who were drafted early in the first round last year. He's just not that type of athlete. He's probably more of a Baker Mayfield type of athlete, maybe on his best day. But at the same time, my gosh, that guy is he's a leader. He can do it all. He already, there's a throwing chart detailing basically 8 throws in terms of, like, you know, short screens, swing passes, you know, outs, seam passes, etc. He makes all set, you know, all of the first 7. He doesn't have a great deep ball yet, but I mean, how many guys have a great deep ball who are college quarterbacks? I mean, that's Jeff George. You know, when you're talking about making the throw number 8, that's Jeff George. And, you know, there's not going to be many Jeff Georges, especially not ones who can, you know, move around like Trey Petty can. I love the continuity that he backed up Alt Meyer in college, in high school. And now the two of them are going to be better, you know, be back together in Champaign. I think continuity is nice, but, you know, having that friendship and being able to carry it on in the mentorship is such a bonus. I really love that. So he's my next best pick to click out of this group. He's my third best, which, you know, I know it's easier to say that about the quarterback.
I talked to some of his former teammates from Starkville were at a Memphis EYBL basketball tournament. And I had a parent tell me that first off, he was one of the great kids, that he's a guy who's a glue guy on top of all of his talent, just got a personality that people enjoy being around. And the other thing I was told is that if he was in Alabama or Mississippi, or excuse me, or Louisiana, he'd be a four-star. And yeah, sometimes, you know, being in Mississippi, you just kind of get downgraded in life. And that they really felt like he was a little bit reduced in his rankings just because of where he plays as opposed to some other places.
Yeah, it's just, honestly, it's not even the size as much as it is the 40 time. And it's that probably kept him out of the four-star range, kept, you know, the SEC schools from offering him a bag of money to stay there. And it's not that he's slow, and it's not that he's not effective on his feet, because he's very elusive. He's Tommy DeVito out there, really, is what he is. He can make all kinds of plays with his feet, but he doesn't require, you know, he doesn't necessarily need to run for 100 yards in a game to be effective with his feet, which is kind of the prototypical college quarterback these days. You know, right, somebody who's dual threat, but he's primarily going to make plays with the pass. And of course that extends his life as a college quarterback too. He doesn't take those big hits.
Yep. Now the next up would be the tight end position, where Illinois has been, had some activity as well.
Oh gosh. You know, I just started to write up my article on Tanner Hollinger tonight, and it's just, I kind of had to laugh. Because, you know, when you look at Illinois' depth chart now at tight end, you have very few guys who anybody has ever seen play tight end in a meaningful way. It's crazy, isn't it? You know, you got Griffin Moore, who was a quarterback in high school, and has played, you know, less than 20 snaps at Illinois. So, you know, and there's not meaningful ones. So you don't really know what you have there. You have Nathan Gwynn, who has, you know, his highlight film is about four snaps long on his huddle. He's got some practice reps in there after that. You just don't know, because he got hurt after he switched to tight end in high school. He'd been a defensive end and hadn't even played that much as a defensive end. He went to one of the football powerhouses. So, I mean, it's not any sort of shame that he didn't get a lot of playing time in high school, but at the same time, none of us, Vero Beach, so none of us have really seen him play tight end in a meaningful way. And then you got two guys from small and then smallest schools. And then it's especially complicated that I went back when I was looking at Tanner Hollinger and went back and looked at Carson Conkle as well. And I was like, which one of these guys is actually the smaller school player? Because Tanner Hollinger plays 8-man football in Nebraska, yep, but it's from a fantastic program. Those kids are really well coached. Tanner Hollinger, you know, despite playing kind of a pseudo, you know, offensive tackle / tight end position in 8-man football, he looks more polished than Carson Conkle. And Carson Conkle plays at Pinckneyville High School, you know, which has an enrollment of 425. So one of the smaller schools in the state of Illinois. And I can't even tell you which classification Pinckneyville would fall into, because it's been so long since they made the playoffs, which is kind of incredible when you got a guy. And Carson Conkle had other Division I offers, so you know that he's not a nobody, right? This is not a guy that Illinois just kind of like closed their eyes and had a feeling about and gave him a scholarship. Yet you watch him play and he doesn't look as polished as Tanner Hollinger. He's a good enough athlete. I'm not saying that he's not a good take or anything like that, but he plays for kind of a bad program in Pinckneyville there, which, despite having a surefire, you know, high major player, still manages to put up losing record year after year. That's kind of hard to do. And it shows. So, you know, as for which one of them is going to get the first bite at the apple on Champaign versus Griffin Moore versus Nathan Gwynn, I have no idea. The only guy they had that had any sort of polish as a tight end, any sort of experience, was Nathan Cargill, and he transferred out quickly. So who knows? I mean, we might just need to go start beating the bushes for tight end walk-ons again and hope to get another Tip Ryman, who also played 8-man football, by the way. So, you know, if that works, it works. I think it's a heck of a gamble by the staff, honestly, because we know they love tight ends. They play two tight ends, yep, often. And a couple years down the line, I have no idea. I mean, being honest, I have no idea if any of these guys is a Big Ten tight end, and nobody could honestly tell you that they have a better idea than that. Because
or does any of them have that? Do they have that ability to grow into a left tackle or a defensive end, or is it that hard to just?
I mean, I wouldn't put either one of them as a defensive end necessarily. I mean, outside linebackers, where you put a guy of that size and speed in Illinois system. But if those guys aren't playing tight end, well, we're in trouble because somebody needs to play tight end.
Right.
Two guys need to play tight end for Illinois, essentially, if not three. And I guess we just don't know, what Barry Lunny has planned for the future. He might have, he might just want to go back to playing one tight end, which is what he often did at UTSA. So we don't really know what the grand plan is there, but I'm a little bit, I wouldn't say worried, but just interested, let's say, in what's going to happen at the tight end position. Because Carson Conkle, I mean, he's a good enough athlete. He looks like he can be a Big Ten tight end. Tanner Hollinger looks like he can be a Big Ten tight end. But, I mean, when you look at highlight packages with these guys playing against 180-pounders, 150-pounders, it doesn't tell you anything. I mean, they might as well be running routes against air, just because those guys aren't going to be able to stop them. And Tanner Hollinger, I mean, his blocking is just otherworldly when you're talking about eight-man football. But, he's not going to be facing 150-pounders in the Big Ten, clearly. Yeah. Especially because, in eight-man football, he's lined up at the end of the line of scrimmage sometimes. I mean, he's blocking at what is kind of essentially a safety, an eight-man football safety again and again. I mean, he's blocking these guys out of bounds, and it's fun to watch, but it doesn't tell us anything.
Right, right. Yeah, it's a challenge there. So that leaves us to our last position, which is wide receiver for the Illini's class this 2024 verbal commitments.
Yeah, well, I've got good news and bad news. The good news is Tyshawn, is that how you say it, Griffin?
Yes.
Tyshawn. Griffin, I mean, he's going to be a good one. I mean, he's going to fit just right into what Illinois likes to do with Isaiah Williams. He doesn't actually probably have the straight line speed that Isaiah Williams has, but he's so quick and elusive. And again, like Morgan Park plays in the Chicago Public League, which has a lot of great athletes, but not a lot of great coaching. So, some of those guys don't know how to, distribute their weight and break down correctly, with an elite athlete who's going to run around them. But I feel confident that he's a good enough athlete that he's going to make plays for Illinois. I was not thrilled with Carlos Orr. Carlos Orr is he's a tall 180-pounder. He plays stronger than 180 pounds. He plays good competition at Gatlinburg, Tennessee. But at the same time, it's actually not their highest class, but I think it's the second highest class in Tennessee. But, that's a football rich state. A lot of NFL players, a lot of high major college players come out of that area. And he's beating them up consistently, which is nice. I kind of see him being restricted to just being an outside receiver, though. He's a guy who probably would have fit in pretty well with the last class or the class before. I was kind of hoping for a little bit more in this class. And, the timing of when we took his commitment after a few other receivers turned us down tells me that maybe he was more of a plan B or plan C. And that's what it looks like to me. Hope I'm wrong. I will say that I wrote him up and I didn't, I reflected what I just said in my article. Gosh, he retweeted the heck out of that article. So either he's using it as motivation or he's just happy to have somebody write about him. I'm not sure. But I think, I got like 100 Twitter mentions about that article. I hope they're not all bad, but because I don't really read them all. I don't want to get into all that. But
yeah.
I know that my phone kept blowing up with like, bing, 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 bing. You've been mentioned. It's been retweeted. So I don't know. I mean, obviously, I'm an Illinois fan too, like all of us. And I hope that he turns out great. But I wonder if he has the ability to be more than an extra receiver for Illinois.
Right. Yeah. And I've heard Tyshawn, a couple people said he is literally the most exciting player in the state of Illinois high school right now. So I'm all excited to see that. And we've seen with Isaiah Williams, that general type of receiver. We know that Tank Wright will put weight on these guys and will get them into shape to play. And, you know, it's really crazy with a coach like Bielema and his staff, because, you know, literally a guy who came here with no stars goes number five in the draft. If that was a movie that you read, that you watched that, you'd say, what a stupid script. That never happens. So mm-hmm. Brett Bielema can say it does on my mm-hmm. team. And yeah. and yeah. That's just, you know, it's kind of like, you know, like even when you look back at in the NBA, like Dennis Rodman, you know, goes in the second round, becomes a Hall of Famer, you know, and nobody had ever heard of him either, you know, but it's even more dramatic when you're the fifth player picked. Sure. That's just amazing. So yeah. Any other thoughts on the way to the teams, you know, obviously looking to close out there? We're hearing somewhere around 20 will be what's in this class. Any other yeah. additional thoughts?
Well, Matt projected 20, and I have no reason to dispute that. I think the number of actual spots is 17, but you know, you'd be crazy not to count on attrition these days.
Yep.
Guys are going to transfer out. Guys are going to get injured, or guys are going to get upset or lose playing time in the fall, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, I think if history is a guide, I mean, Illinois made room for Macky Rasetich last year. They did not have room for him, but they're like, you know what? We know that somebody's going to move, you know, and we just have to have this guy, which, by the way, he's my pick to click from the last class. Such an athlete and a tough kid on top of that. That's a guy, you know, kind of like, you know, that's a guy who, you know, we're talking about guys when we suddenly focus on football and what they can turn into when they focus on football. Oh my gosh. I honestly said this to Matt and he said, I'm crazy. And maybe I am. He might be the best running back in that class ahead wow. of Caden Fagan. I mean, he actually played tougher competition. He's faster, clearly, and he has contact balance and power, which is what you want. I mean, Caden Fagan's really good. He deserves his 4-star ranking, but Macky Rasetich, man, that guy's going to be something for Illinois. I mean, and I don't know if our viewers are aware of the story, but, you know, Bielema saw his tape and immediately, like, locked it away, like in a black box, and said, like, okay, nobody come near this. Like, as soon as I'm allowed in the late recruiting season, you know, I'm heading over to Spring Valley personally, and I'm going to get this kid. And wow. of course, that's the one and only time that's happened for Brett Bielema, at least at Illinois. I have no idea about all the stories at Wisconsin or Arkansas, but I know that that's the only time he's done that at Illinois. And as soon as I saw Rasetich's tape, I was like, oh man, this guy's going to be special. So excellent. Anyway, see what happens when you get me excited about Illinois football, Mike. I mean, you told me maybe a half hour, 45 minutes, and here we are 50 minutes later. And I go on and on and on. That's just my excitement for football, though.
Perfect. Well, thanks for coming on. And, of course, folks, again, Steve writes some incredible stuff. His football recruiting spotlight series is a mainstay at the Illini Guys. We think that, you know, when you've got somebody who played in college football, never allowed a sack, although – I'm a little bit hesitant on this. He got away with it and he's a lawyer. It's a little scary, but you know, this is one of the advantages of really getting a subscription from Illini Guys, is that you get to the eyes and the evaluations of somebody who's been out there on the field and paid the dues and been successful and looks at it more from a standpoint of a coach than he does really a fan or trying to think about, like, oh gee, what would be important to me? Well, he's been around coaches and played the game, so he can kind of, there's no extrapolation here. So thank you so much for this, Matt, and everybody again, IlliniGuys.com. Steve, yeah,
call me Matt.
Yeah, I'm calling you Matt.
I'm way better looking than Matt, so that's an info.
Obviously, you know, we call Steve the heartthrob of the Illini Guys, so there you are. that's how you could tell us apart. If you see a bunch of ugly guys and Steve, then you go, that must be Sturm. That was one of the great moments of Illini Guys history. I was standing in line last year at the home opener, and some 12-year-old kid saw my shirt that said Illini Guys on it. He turned around and he goes, are you one of the Illini guys? And I said, yes, I am. And he goes, I can tell your voice. You're the fat one who eats pizza.
Oh, no.
And I had to, you know, I was so excited at somebody recognizing me that I'm like, yes, I am.
That's right. Either way, we'll take, you know, what, any publicity is good publicity.
That's
right?
Exactly how I look at it, Steve.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, folks, thanks for listening to this. We will be right back after a real quick commercial break. Whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across this great nation or halfway across the planet, IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know. Whether it's game results or what's going on in recruiting behind the scenes, IlliniGuys.com covers it. Only $99 a year, and you get a free 7-day trial to kick the tires. Go to IlliniGuys.com, click the register button that's right next to the 7-day free trial, and we'd love to have you as a subscriber. IlliniGuys.com. Thank you so much to Steve Sturm for stopping by and sharing his thoughts on the 2024 verbal commitments to the Illini football program. If you enjoy Steve's insights, you can definitely listen to or come and subscribe to the Illini Guys. You can listen to him on podcasts, but he'll also have his football recruiting spotlight articles and his trench reports during the season where he breaks down what's going on the offensive and defensive lines of scrimmage. It's a lot of fun and very informative. So I would highly encourage, if you really enjoy what you're hearing, please give us a chance, 7-day free trial. And I think you'll be very happy with what you get, particularly if you're a football fan and you want to hear from guys like Steve. And of course, you can also follow him on Twitter at SteveSturm55. And Sturm is STURM. Steve is STEVE. I'm assuming everybody got that. So at SteveSturm55. And with that, folks, we will say goodbye for this episode. And of course, go Illini.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.